The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is the fifth day of August 2022 as we get ready to head into the first big weekend of the steaming hot month of August, and the forecast does not disappoint. So hot topics on a hot day, but hopefully a cool show to provide a little breeze of relief as we head into the weekend. Not long after the show yesterday, Brittany Griner got her sentence, 9 years in some Russian labor camp or something. That's not going to happen. I think she's going to be home by Christmas, and I will tell you why. They broke Kyrsten Sinema, and that wasn't hard. It wasn't any harder than it was to break Joe Manchin. We'll talk today about the myth, and it is sadly a myth, of the reasonable Democrat. Moving from folks who are reasonable, or you hope they are, to folks who are not, Mike and I talked about this in our segment. Mike will join us for the Big Friday Whoop-de-doo at 7:35. This whole Alex Jones thing, it's so sad. I lament when people in my business are just deeply disturbed, but everybody gets their gig, and he's just a broken man. And so we'll talk a little bit today about a $4 million settlement against him for the Sandy Hook conspiracy nonsense. That was despicable. He's a lunatic. God love him. I just wish him peace and mental stability. But since when do we turn, shocking and even offensive things that people say on radio or TV, turn them into lottery tickets for the people who are offended? It's weird. And we'll spend some time on a number of other things as the week comes to an end today as well. But that week is surely coming to an end. And that means it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good. I feel good. You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
So good. So good. I got you.
We got a birthday of an underappreciated man.
That's the end, sweet mama. It's your wandering boy. Knocking on your front door.
Thanks for letting us in, letting us knock on your door. The great Rick Derringer is 75. I know I could have done Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, great record. Some of his work with Johnny and Edgar Winter. This is an important dude, man. And he put together a band called Derringer. That works. 1976, Let Me In. Might throw us a little bit from the Rick Derringer library today as we work our way through a number of topics as the week rolls to a close. And my, what a week it has been. We had the primary elections on Tuesday. Lots of good news for some of the Trump-endorsed people, especially in Arizona. The Kansas, everybody's still trying to wrap their heads around the Kansas thing, understandably, because how does a largely conservative state say, yeah, we want to keep the abortion rights protections in the state constitution? Does that bode ill for, does that mean was that a lot of Kansas activism, a lot of lib pro-abort activism in Kansas, or those folks were just way hopped up And maybe on the pro-life side, we were just kind of kicking back, maxing and relaxing, resting on the laurels. Yeah, we got Roe v. Wade overturned. Life is sweet. And, of course, it is. It's great. But then when the first opportunity came to show up and do something about that, once the decision-making had been returned to the states, it may well be that the pro-choicers are a little more hopped up than we are and a little angrier than we are, because with good reason, because what they viewed as a constitutional right, it was not, but they viewed it as one, was corrected by the Supreme Court. And I think they got all hopped up and delivered themselves a win in Kansas. I think we need to be vigilant about that as we move forward in November. Let's pray together and then sad moment in a family that it's a family I have, a political family I have had a lot of admiration for. You know, the one part of it that's gone, you know, south in a hurry. But I'll tell you in a minute. First, though, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, our schools are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. We follow you, Lord. We know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So the family that I am talking about is the Cheney family. Now, to have Liz go off the cliff, that's bummer enough, because I've just thought she was the coolest thing for years and years and years. And then she gets elected to Congress. It's like, sweet, this is great. This could be the path toward, oh, I don't know, first woman president. I'd drop that as a proposition every once in a while. She had unbridled conservatism, had some courage, had a good communications gift. But then Trump hatred ate her brain. I don't need to beat you to death about that, except to say we are T-minus 11 days to having her returned to private life by the voters of Wyoming, God willing. But this morning we need to talk about her dad. Dick Cheney is a career of deep consequence. I mean, he was like 30 something and he was, chief of staff for President Ford when he became president after the Nixon resignation. And then through the cabinet, through the Pentagon, through the vice presidency, Bush and Cheney, the 2000 ticket that meant we had people in place who were serious about fighting terror when 9/11 happened. I will forever remain grateful that we went to war with the part of the world that tried to kill us. 20 years later, you know, it took forever. Did we win ultimately? I don't know, maybe. Did the war go the way it was supposed to go? Did we become war weary? Do we all sort of view that? Do most of us view that differently through the rearview mirror? Many do. But the story of Dick Cheney has been someone who loves this country, someone who has served this country so admirably, which is why yesterday, when I saw this that I'm about to share with you. Now, it is an ad for his daughter. I love my daughter. Dick Cheney loves his daughter, Liz. I hope to God that this is blind devotion to her and not further evidence of of the total mental disconnect that seems to have stricken this family. This is 60 Seconds. It is painful. And it's because it's Dick Cheney, a man I have loved, admired, respected for so very, very long. You know, Adam Kinzinger being an idiot, I couldn't care less. You know, I've people I have really enjoyed, admired, befriended, Bill Kristol, that's a tough one. George Will, whose work I valued forever, he's pretty well dead to me professionally now. So just brace yourselves. What has happened to Dick Cheney?
In our nation's 246-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters had rejected him. He is a coward. A real man wouldn't lie to his supporters. He lost his election, and he lost big. I know it, he knows it, and deep down, I think most Republicans know it. Lynn and I are so proud of Liz for standing up for the truth, doing what's right, honoring her oath to the Constitution, when so many in our party are too scared to do so. Liz is fearless. She never backs down from a fight. There is nothing more important she will ever do than lead the effort to make sure Donald Trump is never again near the Oval Office. And she will succeed. I am Dick Cheney. I proudly voted for my daughter. I hope you will too.
I'm Liz Cheney, and I approve this message.
I'm sure you do. Oh, good Lord, where to begin? Where to begin? 246 years, there has never been an individual who's a greater threat to the republic than Donald Trump. No sane person says this. He lost big. I know it. She knows it. Most Republicans know it. Really, Dick? Really? And that in allowing her brain and her heart to be eaten alive by Trump hatred, this is now a pursuit of truth and honoring the Constitution. And he identifies that this is that there's no more important thing. There's no more important thing that Liz will ever do than to make sure that than to prevent another Trump presidency. Really. Every problem you ever fought to solve, every evil you ever fought to quell, every cause you ever adopted in a long and honorable life, and you are reduced to this. I know it's your daughter. And somebody, it's kind of funny. I did a little back and forth on Twitter on this, and somebody said, "Hey, Mark, would you do this for your daughter? Would any of us, would we do this for our daughters?" I said, "Well, I can't speak for anybody else." But of course not. Of course not. I would lovingly and very privately, wouldn't carry it out in public, try to guide a daughter of mine towards some level of sensible behavior. If that failed, because she's a grown-up, I would shut up about it, except to make sure that she knows that I love her no matter what. But is there some part of paternal love, is there some part of love for a daughter or a son that should lead someone to become a partner, a co-pilot in this level of psychological disconnect? No. This is just very, very sad. And actually, part of the reason it's not personal. I mean, I take personally. You can't not take personally people who attack stuff that you believe in and then attack you. In fact, as a battle of ideas, if somebody thinks Trump was a terrible president, thinks his ideas were bad, wants to give us somebody as a better candidate, we can talk about that all day. But the January 6th committee, Liz, and now Dick Cheney approach of there's you're just stupid. You're a party to evil if you disagree with them. You know what? Screw the both of you. And that hurts to feel that way about a family and some people that I've really, really liked a lot. So one other really valuable byproduct, not just the ridding of this scourge from the halls of Congress when Liz Cheney loses Tuesday after next, but then her dad, who's done so much for this country and whom I admire for those things so much still, will be able to just spend whatever years he has left just loving on the family, you know, distancing from this insanity. And Liz will get the same vacation as well in private life, where I wish them both nothing but happiness and prosperity. But that's another huge reason why this charade must stop at the hands of the voters of Wyoming Tuesday after next. So, bad day for Brittany Griner yesterday, or was it? Tell you about it next. Mark Davis, 722. Our visit with Mike Gallagher, less than 10 minutes away. See what's in his Friday talk show brain. Boys of Supertramp and the title track of Crime of the Century. 866-660-5759. So Brittany Griner gets 9 years, which was almost the max. And it's like, wow, is she going to be chopping rocks in Russia for 9 years? I think she will be home by Christmas. This was the Russians ramping things up so that they can justify or seem to justify getting their vicious terrorist arms dealer back. They want to do Brittany Griner for Victor Boot. So we get a 25-year sentenced guy for malicious global terrorist arms dealing so that we can get back our basketball star who had hash oil in her vape cartridges. Great. I want her back, of course, and she's totally Putin's pawn. And I went and looked into some of this. The books are full of actual Russians getting wrist slapped. While, listen, there's a guy, you know who I want back along with her? There's some poor schlub who's over in a Russian jail right now for 14 years for medical pot. He had a reason. So, no, it's not a reason that they respect in Russia. And if you break the law, you break the law, which, by the way, is why it's really important. Stop all this talk from Biden on down that she is improperly detained. No, she's not. She broke the law. She was totally properly detained. She's totally properly in jail. She was totally properly convicted. But is it just? Is it right? Is this something where, to be good global citizens, the Russians could go easy on her? Sure. Now, here's the funny thing. If you're not a big sports star, big famous person, we wouldn't care. Wouldn't even be talking about it. But here's what I think. I think they had to sentence her. We had to get to this point where she is an absolute convicted criminal looking at a decade in a Russian jail so that it can seem like a bigger deal for the Russians to give her back so that they can get Victor Boot. And I think that'll happen in the coming months, if not weeks. We're in Grand Saline. Bob, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mark. This is boxing barrister Bob, and I promise not to take up half your show as I have in the past.
Deal.
I think the whole Dick Cheney issue is really about three P's. It's not about policy, because Cheney and Liz Cheney are totally there with Trumpian policy. And it's ultimately not about personality. It's not about mean tweets or anything else. Mm. It's about power. It's about the establishment, the deep state, of which the Cheneys and the Bushes are just as much as the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bidens. And it's about power and privilege, and they can't stand the fact, perhaps there's a fourth P here, which is true populism, which is what Donald Trump has always embodied in his run for and in his presidency.
I think there's great wisdom there, and that's why one of my favorite sentences is that all the energies directed against Trump are because he doesn't care about the establishment of either party, and especially his own, which is why some of the Trump hatred from so-called conservatives, which they're not anymore, from Republicans, is way more vicious and, in a way, way more weird than a Democrat that doesn't like him. Find me a Democrat that doesn't like him, and I get it, because he stands against everything you stand for. But when people who have fought for the things Trump Trump fought for and succeeded at, go dark on him, go hostile on him, seek to ruin him. There's something far deeper and weirder going on, and you've identified it exactly, because there's a class of Republicans tied into the donor community, the establishment, the go-along to get-along, and to them, Trump is kryptonite. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very much. 7:31, our visit with Mike Gallagher, right after our visit into the newsroom with Gordon Griffin. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon. Could use this one every day, couldn't we?
Well, we certainly can.
Just
today.
Want to celebrate another day of living from rare earth.
Certainly play it today, the Carrie Lake theme song.
That's right. That's right. Now, so I can, before you make an important point, you know, I always have some arcane, stupid thing to throw in. It's okay. Here it comes. The big thing about Rare Earth, 1971, great record, is that they were like the first white band signed by Motown, right? Except they weren't. Before them were the Rustics, the Dalton Boys, and the Underdogs. So what Rare Earth what Rare Earth is the first act signed by white act signed by Motown that actually had a hit. So
you always win a Trivial Pursuit, don't you?
I did. That was fun.
I love that.
I love that game. Does that even exist anymore?
I don't think so.
When people can have a phone buried under their table and Google anything and.
I know.
I don't know.
Technology's probably replaced it. That was a good old fashioned board game that I used to love. I'd play it with Denise and the kids. She hated when we played Monopoly because I won because she said I would get greedy. She said, I remember her saying, you're like a real estate magnet. This is ridiculous. You're crushing me. I'm like,
look at you.
That's the point.
You were Trump-like in Monopoly in the 1990s.
Came down the escalator. Listen, how about Florida, baby? How about Ron DeSantis suspending this radical progressive state attorney here in Hillsborough County, where I'm seated right now? You know what this does, Mark? This puts the pressure on governors like Greg Abbott.
You got that right.
Look at what is his name? Jose Garza? You've got progressive prosecutors in places like Texas. This guy in Travis County, he's doing just what this guy in Hillsborough County yesterday had been doing.
Yep.
Promising not to prosecute anybody who violated laws that were enacted by the legislature.
Exactly
here
right. On abortion or on gender obliteration or anything else. There are states passing laws about Florida is doing it. Texas is not. And now Florida's governor comes out and says, this Andrew Warren guy, we're suspending him. If he's going to put his personal beliefs above the laws of the state, we're suspending him. And I could not love it more.
I couldn't love it more because it's winning. I mean, look at the news out of San Francisco. This ousted San Francisco DA, Cheza Boudin, who was out, he was fired. He announced he will not run in the special election this year. He's decided to put his family first. Good. Well, go spend time with your family.
Big
and
fan
leave
of that.
The law-abiding citizens of San Francisco alone. So, this is such a great move for DeSantis, and I know this is the never-ending debate about DeSantis's national aspirations. Who knows? They're in Dallas. Man, oh man, they're just having such a good time over at that CPAC conference.
Did you catch the Hungarian president yesterday?
Oh boy.
My enemies, they can go to hell. I have come to Texas. So the place goes, I think I turned him into Dracula there. Sorry.
Well, Tom Tradup is there and he says it's like they're writing my material because Tom is real edgy. He said, here, Marjorie Taylor Greene, her session is called I'll Take My Committee Back, Please. And then he said, get ready for the rockin' session called The Invasion with both, are you ready for it?
Okay.
Myra Flores.
Yep.
And Carrie Lake.
Yes!
I mean, you talk, that place will explode. They will go out of their
Mike, this is impossible. Myra Flores, Carrie Lake, I thought only Democrats could represent women. I thought that only Democrats had women's interests at the fore. There was this Biden tweet yesterday said that the Supreme Court, what Kansas has shown, and I understand the pro-aborts are all dancing in the streets about the Kansas thing, said that what the Supreme Court didn't recognize is the power of women. I thought, wait a minute, women? aren't there pro-life women in Kansas? Aren't there pro-life women? Are they not actually women? It's like,
they're not. They're less than women. They don't count. Those are just like Clarence Thomas isn't a black man.
Just got like that, right?
You know, what's her name? Ketanji Brown was the first black Supreme Court justice.
Clarence Thomas?
That was the Washington Post said that.
Thurgood Marshall.
Right? Doesn't count. Black conservative men don't count. Incidentally, that's what's the theme, you know, Uncle Tom 2, wow. And the way politics it juxtaposes with Marxism and black America, it's amazing. It's a fascinating movie. I can't wait to have you see it, and I know you're going to get a big event coming up.
Right? I do indeed, and let's break that news right now for the listenership, because coming up 3 weeks from today, this is a quick turnaround, because it's time for this movie to come out. Over at the Angelica in Dallas, we are doing a screening of Uncle Tom 2.
The Angelica?
Yeah, I know. God, are they going to let us into that building, into that
neighborhood? They're not letting you in.
The place is going to be crawling with conservatives, black, white, and everything in between. All of this is going to be at 660amtheanswer.com probably by Monday, but I'm telling everybody about this now. Just be on the lookout for it. I'll be beating you to death about it for 3 solid weeks. It'll be great, because we're going to have Larry Elder in. We're going to have Alan West in. We're going to have Officer Brandon Tatum in. Justin Malone, the director of Uncle Tom's 1 and 2. And after each screening of the movie, we got one for the VIPs and one for everybody else. And I'll do a little Q&A, a little roundtable with those gentlemen on stage at the Angelica Friday the 26th. Details to follow on Monday. So put that date on the calendar.
I might have to make a quick trip into Dallas. That sounds like fun.
Hop into your special pod in first class and the plane of your choice and come on down. That'd be great.
You will be blown away by this movie, Mark. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. It's so riveting. And listen, not everybody's going to buy it, there's going to be pushback, because the movie tips over the sacred cows of the civil rights movement itself. And the damage that they claim in the movie, the civil rights movement did. Martin Luther King. These iconic symbols. And, you know, here's a conversation starter. Think about this for just a moment.
All right.
Larry's movie, Uncle Tom 2, takes us to history. And at the turn of the century, when blacks were prospering in wide measure in America, mm-hmm. where Black Wall Street was an example of prosperity. You know, there's the massacre there was the Black Wall Street vandalizing and rioting, and they burned it down in Tulsa, right? Well, guess what? They built it back, according to the movie, and that's never talked about. They never talk about the recovery from the Tulsa riot. They never talk about the recovery from the damage. And there were two parent households and proud. I mean, this is the narrative. Now, there's going to be a pushback, and I get it. It's a documentary.
No, and it doesn't mean that life was absolutely hunky-dory and rainbows and unicorns for black people 100 years ago.
But it wasn't.
No, sure, of course.
But it was not. I think their argument is, in the movie, if in 2022, according to the Black Lives Matter narrative, things are so awful and historically oppressive and racist for black America now, why wasn't that a theme at the turn of the century?
I know.
And it goes back to history, and they use a lot, and there's a lot of smart people. And anyway, Uncle Tom 2, can't wait for the screening at the Angelica.
And along those lines, there's a quote. I had Pat Buchanan on. Pat is still alive and upright and taking nourishment and still writing and stuff. I need to get him back on the show, because he's just obviously eternally fascinating figure. And we were talking about something maybe 20 years ago. And he said, you know, admittedly, we had so much progress that we had to make in terms of affording people of color basic rights, just basic rights that they had not been allowed. But in the America that I grew up in, this is Pat talking, the America of the 50s, if not the 40s, black and white Americans went to the same baseball games, watched the same shows, worshiped the same God, had experienced the same types of patriotism. And so while we've achieved all these things about equal rights, and properly so, we have balkanized and divided ourselves into enemy camps. And he wonders how well served we've been by that. I think it's
pretty well. It makes me think of the big myth about Israel that was exploded when I went there the first time. Because I have this image of Israelis and Palestinians living in abject terror of one another.
Yep.
There's a lot of Israelis and Palestinians who intermingle, who coexist, and there's a lot more peace over there than you believe. Jobs numbers just came out, so okay. Biden will be doing it. He'll be taking a victory lap, and Corinne Jean-Pierre will be doing handstands. America's hiring boom continued. Employers added 528,000 jobs in July. That outpaces expectations. The unemployment rate, here's the thing that blows my mind. Try calling a customer service number today or walking into a department store and getting somebody to help you.
Yep.
However, the unemployment rate edged lower. It's now at 3.5%.
Yep.
That's lower than the past 4%. Mark, it's the lowest level since the pandemic began.
Yep.
So that's going to be the takeaway. Get ready for the mainstream media. They're going to be salivating.
Oh,
and
Biden is back.
It's back. He's back. That's but listen, let's be real here. This is what we've got to be focused on getting closer and closer to November. They're pulling out all the big guns to try to hold on to the House and Senate. Axios is calling Dick Cheney's commercial for his daughter Liz an instant classic. The 81-year-old former vice president talking straight into the camera. The funniest tweet I saw last night was, it's Yellowstone, part 9, the TV
that's
series.
I played it. You've seen it, right? That 60 seconds
of
him. Here's Dick Cheney, who has honorably served this country for a long time, saying that in the 246 years of our history, there's been no greater threat to democracy than Donald Trump, and that his daughter in her congressional career will never do anything more important than keeping him from the White House. Dick Cheney has lost his ever-loving mind.
Well, and that's the tell. That's the giveaway. Here's the point, and this is so important. Liz Cheney functions for one purpose.
That's it.
To tell millions and millions of voters in America, go to hell. We're not going to let him return to the White House.
Yep.
That's her only mission right now in life.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't care about her. She's going to lose next week. There's no question.
I have grown more convinced of that. I was for months and months. It was like, I'll believe it when I see it. I think I'm starting to see it. So, you know.
Well, she's absolutely going to lose. But here's when Dick Cheney, her proud dad.
Yep.
And you can get into all the family dynamics and all that stuff. And I like him. I've interviewed him. Remember when he came to Irving, to our offices where you work? Were you there around?
I was not, but you and I and Dick Cheney have been in the same room before, though. It was the Oval Office.
That's right. In
2009, we went in to say hi to Bush and then sit around with some talk show hosts. And Dick Cheney pops in at the end. It was like, pinch me. My day is done. This is fantastic.
Oh, it was. And he was also, he visited Beltline Road, our studios on Beltline Road in Irving, a big motorcade. Drove in, came up to the second floor. I sat down with him for a half hour, and it was quite a moment. So, you know, I have great respect for him. I'm not going to trash him. You can feel free to.
No, it is a sad, sad blemish and a sad coda to a magnificent career. It's just horribly sad. No, I'm not going to let this one horrible moment define his entire life or my high regard for him, but that's what makes it break my heart.
And it's all sad. It's all heartbreaking, Mark. It's heartbreaking that Liz Cheney flushed her career down the drain over this.
Yep.
Listen, let's not forget, Liz Cheney was a rock-solid, reliable, conservative representative from Wyoming.
Yes.
So, and this came along, and it broke her. Trump broke her. But Dick, and I'm going to play the spot, too. I'm going to play this so that we can at least acknowledge that was Liz Cheney's only goal is to prevent. And see, this is the thing. And they never make this connection. She's not talking about one man.
No.
Again, she's talking about half the damn country, pardon my language.
And here's her husband, here's her father saying that, you know, I know he lost, she knows it, and most Republican, of course we know technically, but I mean that most people, it's the continuing self-absorption, narcissism, and mania of these people that only they are right, and that anybody that believes that the 2020 election was hinky, tainted, something wrong with it, is somehow stupider than they are. It's unbelievably insulting.
It's incredibly insulting, and thanks, Kirsten Sinema. You had all the clout in the world, and you blew it.
Yep.
Joe Manchin blew it. But see, here's the thing. This is what Republicans never learn. Democrats are going to Democrat. They're going to be unified way before they're going to do the right thing.
Of course.
And we just got to accept that.
That's
so guess what? then we got to play ball that way. Then we got to unify.
Give me, to take us out and into the weekend, give me 60 seconds on Brittany Griner. I think she is home by Christmas. I think the harsh sentence is like a part of the long game where the Russians will give her up in order to get Viktor Bout, the doctor.
I heard you say that, and I read what's her name over at Town Hall, Katie Pavlich, mm-hmm. who said that her conviction or her sentence seems to snatch away any chance of a prisoner swap.
Why?
Well, already, yep, that was the narrative. And I thought, uh-oh, is Mark a little off? Let me tell you why Mark is not off. This is why Mark is almost never off. This morning, of course, a Russian spokesperson said, we're ready to sit down at the table to discuss a prisoner swap. You are absolutely correct. It's totally a precursor to her being returned. We're going to do some kind of deal. And she's going to come home. She's not going to spend nine years in a Russian prison.
No, she's not going to spend 9 months in a Russian prison.
Maybe not even 9 weeks.
Or additionally, correct. But here's something let's not do. Let's not play this stupid pretend game in our heads that she's going to come back and be appreciative of America. Are you high? Do you have hash oil in your vape, if you believe that? Oh, hell no. She'll thank Biden. She'll maybe thank Tony Blinken. But she will come back, and it won't be minutes before she is describing this country as the racist hellhole that she's always believed it to be. That will not change.
The better angel in me is trying to tell the devil on your shoulder.
Stop it.
That she is going to have a big conversion.
And she's going to become
appreciative of this country. I would think the threat of a decade in a Russian prison change a person.
But once she's safely back, she might say it over there. There will be some glancing peripheral appreciation. It's nice to be back in my country, blah, blah, blah. But if somebody says, hey, by the way, now that you've been over in Russia, do you think that America basically is a better place, basically is praiseworthy, that this country is a shining, magnificent beacon of freedom and liberty? Shoot, no. We are a racist hellhole, and she'll be saying it again within minutes.
God's going to change her. God's going to touch her heart.
You know what? I hope I'm wrong.
The Lord is going to touch her heart.
I hope so.
Have a great weekend. Stay cool. Please be careful. Don't forget the pets. Please.
Right.
Don't let them out there languishing. All right. See you Monday.
Friday, Mike Gallagher Show is right after we're done at 10, right here on 660 AM. The Answer.
I walked to my house like a good girl should. He followed me to my house like I knew he would. Because a guy is a guy wherever he may be. So listen while I tell you what this fella did to me.
1952, a guy is a guy. Well, that's up for hot debate these days. Doris Day taking us out from 1952. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer. All kinds of things coming our 8 o'clock hour. Topically, conceptually, conversationally. Come be a part of it. 866-660-5759. 660 AM. The Answer.
Because a guy is a guy wherever he may be.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.